All right, over there. Well, I'm coming down to the end of our four-part series, our Christmas series, and we've taken texts from Matthew chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, John chapter 1, so I think it's only fitting and fair that we give the Gospel of Mark some time. And so we're going to be in the Gospel of Mark chapter 1 today. If you'd like to turn there, we'll cover the first 27 verses. And we'll also add verse 45. Am I okay there, Obi? Am I talking too soft today? I can't help that, man. You got to tether me down, man. That's not going to change. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So most Bible scholars agree that the Gospel of Mark was probably the first gospel written, probably around AD 62, and most likely from Rome. Because by this time, Mark was reunited with Paul after having what you might call a fallout, as recorded in Acts chapter 15. But Mark was a young man, perhaps 12 years old. And there is a very interesting scripture, a passage in Mark chapter 14, verse 51, which possibly could speak of Mark himself being there at the crucifixion and being apprehended by a soldier and leaving his cloak behind. So you can look there after service if you'd like, but Mark was definitely young at Jesus' time, and it seems as if he was a companion of Peter, and most of what Mark wrote in the gospel, most would say, came directly from Peter. And when you read the gospel of Mark, you have pretty much Peter's account of what happened during the life of Jesus, the ministry on earth. It's the first gospel and certainly the shortest gospel, only 15 chapters. And again, we'll read just the first 27 verses today, and we'll tack on verse 45 also. But Lord Jesus, thank you for this time. Once again, Lord, we are so glad that you fill us with the Holy Spirit, that we can understand all these things, Lord. You are our tutor, Lord. You guide us into all truth. And Lord, we ask that you do the same today. Once again, fill us. Lord, would you keep at bay those things that would seek to compete with this time? Lord, we covet this time, and we ask that you would fill our minds, our hearts, our souls with your word. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter 1. I've entitled this sermon, The Christmas Comings and Goings. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets. Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. That's Malachi. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John came baptizing, verse 4, in the wilderness, and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John the Baptist, was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Verse 9, it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, Jesus saw the heavens parting, and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, saying, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Verse 12, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. He was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts. And the angels ministered to him. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Verse 16, and as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew with his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the servants and went after him. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit. And he cried out saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed. They questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And immediately his fame spread throughout the region of Galilee. Fast forward to verse 45. If I can find it. There it is. Jesus went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter no further. Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel, that Greek word evangelion, means good news. Good news. And the word evangeliso means to bring good news. It's the verb. And both words are derived from angelos, angels, which are messengers. And so an evangelos is one who brought good news. And again, for the Greeks, it was that person who came, and I've shared this before, would come during the midst of the battle that was going on, and he would go to the front lines of the battle and say, great news, guys, we won. The battle's over. He couldn't text or send an email, so it was a runner, like Gallipoli. And he would run to the lines and go throughout the little gatherings of soldiers and say, put your weapons down, we won. The victory has been won. And again, that is the gospel. The victory's been won in Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting to me that all the writers begin the gospels, each one picking a different place to begin. And we have Matthew beginning with the genealogy of really Joseph, although it says Jesus, going back to Abraham. And then Luke begins his gospel, and he goes all the way back to Adam, linking Jesus to Adam. And then John, of course, begins his gospel, as we saw last week, going all the way back to the beginning of time, actually before the beginning of time, because John says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. That's before Genesis 1:1, when God created. So again, Matthew goes back to Abraham, Luke goes back to Adam, John goes back to when God was thinking of creating the world. But Matthew's different. He begins his gospel with the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist. He doesn't tell us anything about the birth of Jesus, right in with the ministry of Jesus Christ, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because Mark was with Paul, perhaps he was thinking of Paul's declaration that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God as a salvation for all who believe, to the Jew first and then the Gentile. So Mark wastes no time. He gets right to work. And someone sent me this little comparison recently, and I think it's spot on as far as the gospels go. And maybe you've had it on your phone also. It's a bit small there, but it says Matthew. It says, before I begin, let me give you the genealogy of Jesus so you know what this is all about. This is a real person. And then it goes to Luke, and it says, before I begin, let me tell you the backstory about what led up to this story. And then you have John, who says, before I begin, let me explain why it's important to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And of course, there's Mark. And Mark just says, let's get down to business. And that's what Mark does. Take any time, as the other gospel writers, he gets right into what Jesus did and what he's still doing. And so he's brief in his style. He doesn't go into a lot of details, but he just briefly relates the stories that he covers. And because of that, he covers a lot of territory. Mark covers a lot of territory, even in the first chapter. As a matter of fact, J. Vernon McGee said that the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, has more action in it than the first chapter of the Bible besides the book of Genesis. So it's action-packed. And you might say that the Gospel of Mark covers the comings and goings of people in and around the region of Galilee, where Jesus did most of his ministry. Comings and goings can be thought of as the active, busy movement of people in and out of a place, or Another definition is coming could be that which occurs, that which happens. But for our sake, mostly we're seeing the activity of people coming and going. As a matter of fact, look on your bulletin if you could. I have one myself. There is a painting on the front. That painting is from Peter Bruegel of the Netherlands. He painted it in 1566, and the painting is entitled The Census at Bethlehem. And this winter of 1565-66 in Europe was one of the heaviest snows on record. And Peter Bruegel paints this, and he brings in modern elements, but it's people coming and going. But you can find, if you look closely enough, you can see the stable scene. You can find Jesus and Joseph and Mary on the donkey going to the stable. And so he brings in that ancient element of the nativity, the birth of Christ, but it's in a modern day setting. And today we're going to take that great story of the birth of Christ, and we're going to apply it to ourselves in our comings and goings of Christmas. We're going to find ourselves in this chapter today of Mark, in the gospel of Christ, because if you look closely enough in this first chapter, the word coming, came, is probably in there over a dozen times. And so we're going to focus on the comings and goings of Christmas with the gospel of Mark. When Tina and I traveled to Philadelphia, well, we didn't travel to Philadelphia, we traveled to Rhode Island. But on the way there, we had a layover in Philadelphia. And as a matter of fact, we had the same thing on the way back. So we didn't have enough time to go to the Philadelphia Museum of Art. We couldn't run the rocky stairs. So instead, we just sat in a cafe in the airport. As we sat there in the cafe, we watched the comings and goings of a lot of people. You can't think of a place more full of comings and goings than an airport. And so it was fascinating just to sit there and to eat some Philadelphia fare and just watch people as we were relaxing. They were just rushing back and forth. Last week, I went shopping with my dear mother at Walmart in Huntington Beach. And man, Walmart Huntington Beach was full of comings and goings. Hundreds of people looking for that special gift for the special someone. And it was a buzz of activity. But you don't have to go to Philadelphia. You don't have to go to Diner's Diner. And on any given Saturday or Sunday, sit there and watch the comings and goings of shoppers and travelers and tourists. And as you sit there, you realize, wow, there's a lot going on here in this little town of Julian. Comings and goings. Hillside Church has been a place of comings and goings, I think, over the past 3 weeks, with gatherings and decorating and parties and Koinonia Christmas and all these things going on. It's a busy place. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes our comings and goings are way overdone, especially at this time of the year. We find ourselves exhausted instead of excited about Christmas. And we crave a moment to sit in silence, preferably by ourselves, and just be alone. We might even anticipate the day when it's all over, we can return to normal. Now, if you find yourself in that place, I have some good news. It's not too late. It's not too late. There are some comings and goings that do not exhaust us. And instead, they ease our burdens, they encourage us, they enlighten us, they elevate us, and they even energize us. And we're going to find a few right here in our first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, as we see Jesus again in the region of Galilee, the place where he did most of his ministry, around the Sea of Galilee, the miracles, the ministry, the meetings, and he did most of his comings and goings in this place. And so Mark begins with John the Baptist, who came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, and saying, "There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to stoop down and loose." Now after John, this is verse 14, fast forward. After Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel," the good news of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, has come to die for the sins. Here in verses 1 through 4, you could say 7 and 8, 14 and 15, we find a coming that's really good, a very good coming. That is coming with a message of truth and hope, coming to enlighten. That's what John and Jesus did. John came baptizing and preaching a message of repentance, and it was a call to turn away from our sins and turn towards God. John comes with a warning and a corrective action. He does the right thing. He doesn't just tell what the problem is, but he gives a solution. And we all like that, especially if people are in administration. And we have some people who are prone just to complain, but they never offer a solution. John the Baptist, man, he said it like it was, and he offered a solution. He brought the truth and said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. God is coming, and be baptized. We read just last week in the first chapter of the Gospel of John that John the Baptist came to bear witness of Jesus. John was not the light, but he came to bear witness of the light that would come into the world, the true light, which is Jesus Christ. John's mission was to prepare the way for Jesus, to bear witness of Jesus. Jesus, the Messiah, comes after John is in prison, and he preaches the same repentance and an even deeper baptism. Jesus speaks of a baptism of the heart, a change of the heart through faith in him. And then a baptism of the body follows faith in Jesus. Now, that's an energizing type of coming. And you've all done it. When you come to a person or a group of people and you speak truth into a situation with love and you offer hope in Jesus Christ. We'll do that, I'm sure, this coming week when we gather at our family's homes or our friends' homes and the talk begins to swirl around football and the weather and things like that. And you have an opportunity to turn the light on. Now, it might be a special word of encouragement. It might be one-on-one with a friend. It might be to a group of your family members. But either way, you're going to bring enlightenment by speaking of Jesus. Some people won't like that. Some of your family members are going to move away from that immediately when you start to speak of Jesus. They don't want their dark sin to be revealed. Others, by the power of the Holy Spirit, might come to you and listen to you for the first time. Years, and they might receive the light of Jesus and salvation. There's no time like Christmas for this type of coming, coming with a message of hope and truth. Again, it could be a conversation, it could be a text, or it could be a good old-fashioned Christmas card. We've got a lot of them back there. I'm so glad to see that. But the door is open for this John the Baptist type of coming. Enlightenment. And I've said this before, but perhaps you've lost touch with someone you were once close to. Set me up here, Cody. Oh. Lost touch with through the years. And you have not taken the time lately to speak with them or write them. This is the time to bring some enlightenment in some way or another. Hey, the second type of coming is what I'm going to call...
up. Oh, my, that's powerful. Thank you, it's my favorite color too. Thanks, Cody. John, picking the green there. Since there's no orange, green's a good second. So the next one comes, and again, we find it in beginning in verse 9. I'm going to call this a coming up. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. This is a perfect picture of the Trinity. Verse 11, then a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. There's three comings right there. So Jesus comes up from the water after being baptized, sees the heavens part, and the Spirit descends upon him like a dove. So Jesus experiences this unity with the Father and the Holy Spirit. This coming up should be for us a reminder of that moment when we came to Jesus Christ. When we came out and up from the grave, really, and Jesus Christ quickened us. He gave us new life in that moment of faith, the moment we placed our faith in Jesus Christ. And sometimes, and I'm speaking of my hustle of Christmas, that we forget about that Jesus Christ showed us on that moment. We bowed our heads, our hearts, and we asked Jesus Christ to come into our lives. We received the gift of salvation. The reality of that moment causes me, when I think about it, to praise the Lord, to worship the Lord. And sometimes I lift up my head Sometimes I lift up my hands. But either way, the prayer is usually the same. Thank you, God. Thank you for saving me from a miserable existence and giving me eternal life. We lift up our heads and our. I'm so glad that we do that here. We spend time praising the Lord. And again, it's not just a side dish. For some, it's the most important part of the service is to worship the Lord in the song. And it just releases our burdens. And it's a very good coming up. Sometimes we're looking down so often at the things of the world that we forget to just look up. And I encourage you to have that coming up in the next 8 days, I should say. Hey, a third type of coming is mentioned in verses 23 through 26. This is a heavy one. And I'm going to call this a coming out. Leaving behind those things that steal our joy. This term coming out has been perverted, no doubt about it. And it's twisted. It's been twisted by the devil to describe a moment when someone reveals a sinful behavior. And it's applauded. It's applauded, encouraged by the secular culture. It's kind of similar to the idea of the rainbow being hijacked, this idea of coming out. But Jesus speaks of a coming out as being loosed from a demon. And he says this, verse 23. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. You know, Christmas in America can be very materialistic and unrealistic. And if we're not careful, we can get swept up into the flow of it all. There's presents and there's parties and there's buying and there's baking. And before you know it, man, you've completely lost your focus on Christ. And Jesus calls us to be quiet and to come out from the craziness. Now, perhaps on a deeper level, as Jesus ministered to this man, Jesus calls us to come out from maybe a person we've joined ourselves to, maybe a relationship that is not God-honoring. Maybe he calls us out of a substance that has ensnared us and just completely, again, put us into an altered state of being. Perhaps he's calling us out of a site, a website that has ensnared us. He calls us to come out of those things, whether it's a someone, a substance, or a site, a website that seeks to destroy us. And he calls us out of those things, and he calls us to come near to him. And in that way, we allow him, as I mentioned before, to be the good shepherd that leads us to green pastures, to still waters, passive righteousness for his namesake. And the result is a restoration of our souls as we come out from amongst those things that rob us of our joy of Jesus and the joy of Christmas oftentimes. Coming out of deception, darkness, depression, into the safe harbor, the peaceful waters of Jesus Christ. I called it in your notes an escape, but I really think it's more of an emancipation. It's a freedom from being enslaved to a master that's not the Lord. There's a final coming that I want to share with you. We find it in verses 28 and verse 45. I'm going to read it. It says, "Immediately Jesus' fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction." I've called this coming in or entering in, coming to Jesus from every direction. And this is a call during this time, but of course year-round, to spend time reading the Word of God, meditating on the Word, praying, enjoying fellowship, and serving others. This is a coming to Jesus from every direction. It's a focused, uninterrupted contemplation, meditation of the Scriptures. It might be in a Bible study. It might be in your room by yourself. But again, this is a good time to meditate on the Scriptures that speak of passing from death to life, going from being blind to seeing, from being lost to being found. This is a time to meditate on the goodness of the grown-up Jesus Christ who saved us and gave himself for the sins of the world. And again, we read the scriptures and all the while being in a posture of prayer, praying in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Now, whether you hear the word read aloud, like today, whether you read silently by yourself, whether you are in a small group, or you listen to a preacher on the radio, either way, this is a coming to Jesus from every direction. And it ought to ease your burden as you come to him. Now, Christmas presents many opportunities for this. We've provided two little devotionals since the end of November in the back of the church, but I'm sure you have your favorites. And in this meditation, this devotional time that you have, we express gratitude for what Jesus is doing now, not just for the Christmas story that happened ages ago, not just a feel-good type of a thing, but a story of love and unity with God through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ by faith in him. And this is a very good coming to Jesus. It energizes us. It should energize us. It shouldn't burden us. I suggest before you go shopping this week, you spend some time praying and reading God's word. You'll have a much better attitude. And you might just be presented with an opportunity to come with enlightenment for somebody else, coming with the gospel. Jesus said to Andrew, come and see. Philip said to Nathanael, come and see. And the woman of Samaria said, come and see a man who knew everything about me. Come and see a man from heaven. And this coming is so important. I want to give an honorable mention to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, when Jesus says, come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And my favorite coming from Revelation chapter 22, verse 20, surely I'm coming quickly. And the response should be, even so, Lord, come. Now, how about the goings? I'm going to give you a few of my favorites. Go and sin no more. John says that to the woman caught in adultery as he restores her. Go and sin no more. Matthew 28, verse 19. Go into the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You can do that. You don't need a title to do that. Luke chapter 8, verse 39. Go back to your home and tell what great things God has done for you. And this is immediately following Jesus' deliverance of Legion, the man named Legion, because he had a legion, thousands of demons inside him, the man of the Gadarenes, and Jesus Christ delivers him, coming out. He says, come out of him. And the man says, I want to stay with you, Jesus. I want to be right next to you. And Jesus says, no, go home. Go home and tell them what great things God has done for you. And oftentimes, myself included, it's so nice on Sunday. We gather together. We're focused on Jesus. We have fellowship afterwards. We have coffee and treats. And man, there's a temptation just to want to hang around for a real long time. But Jesus says, no, go, because the second service is starting. Go. You must go from here. But it's great to be enriched and, again, energized by the word of God, the songs, the fellowship. But we can't stay in that place. We've got to go. We've got a ministry, each one of us. And then my favorite, we didn't read it today, but Mark chapter 1. Hey, there's towns for us to go to. And again, the best thing we can bring them is the gospel. We're going to bring presents. We're going to bring goodies for sure when we go to visit our family. But we've got to bring the good news of Jesus with us in a conversation, in a card, in some way. And that would be a good going. So the order is this. First, you come to Jesus. Secondly, you go and tell everyone else about Jesus. It's pretty simple. Somebody did that with us at one time or another. So with that, I'm going to close. And let's pray. So dear God, in Jesus' name, we do say thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us a moment to consider these comings and goings, God. Lord, we do desire to have each one of them, Lord, to come in, Lord Jesus, to enter into fellowship with you. Lord, to come with a message of hope and truth, Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to come up. We want to spend time worshiping you, Lord. And certainly, Jesus, we want to come out from anything, any someone, any substance, any site, any website, God, that has mastered us, Lord Jesus. We want to come out from that. And we ask for your help right now. Lord, if anybody here is ensnared in a sin that has so easily ensnared them, God, let them cast it off by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let them cast it away and run with endurance the race that is set before them, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, Lord, has sat down at the right hand of the Father. God, help us to continue on. And Lord, I'm praying, of course, as we always do, if anybody is listening, anybody is here, Lord Jesus, that has never come to you, Lord, and received salvation, I pray they would do that now in a simple prayer by saying, Jesus, I am sorry. I turn away from my sin right now. I turn my back. I repent. And I look to you, Jesus, for my salvation, my forgiveness. So, Lord, I receive the gift of salvation. I am sorry for my sins. Please forgive me. And Lord, now let me experience Christmas in a way I've never experienced it before. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, help us now as we go forth from here. We go forth, Lord, into the next towns, into the world, Lord, into our homes, bringing the good news of Jesus, God. Help us. And Lord, we ask your blessing too upon our tithes and offerings, Lord, that we are about to receive, Lord Jesus, for the furtherance of your kingdom, Lord, both here in Julian and to the furthest away places. God, help us now. We give cheerfully. We give happily, Lord, to be part of your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, I would also say that if any of you here made that decision for Christ, I'd love to hear about it, love to pray with you. And thank you for coming today. God bless you.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come, ye who come to heaven. Come and behold him, born the King of Ages. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation, oh, sing. All ye citizens of heaven above, glory to God, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Yes, Lord Jesus, we thank you that we've been able to just come into your presence to worship, to bow down and adore you. Lord Jesus, you are so faithful and so good. Make us a people joyful and triumphant, Lord, even in the midst of trials and struggles, Lord. You are gracious and good. Help us to go out as a light into this dark world because we have the light. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, just a few announcements this morning. Remember to look at the celebrations page. We do have a lot of birthdays and anniversaries in December. I like to pick them out occasionally. Doug's birthday coming up, December the 30th. It's going to be anniversary. I don't know. It says it doesn't have it. Okay, anyway, I thought he's going to be 75. 75. Fred's birthday is tomorrow? Last week. Okay. All right. Ignore that. Just look at the list. Don't listen to me. All right. Thanks to cleaning crew number 2 for cleaning the church for today. Thanks to all those who helped with the Koinonia Christmas extravaganza. And it was an extravaganza, I can tell you that. Tremendous success and a lot of fun. A lot of funny stuff going on, especially your relatives. A lot of fun stuff going on there. Let's see. Make sure to bring your Christmas cards for the church family. Drop them off in the back. You don't need to put stamps on them. Just put their full first and last name and put them in the back. And the elves back there will sort them out. Also, stop and make sure to see if you have any mail back there or any cards. The 2024 Hillside Church Directory is ready. Hopefully, most of you have already gotten yours. If you have not, remember, it's one per family. You can take one off the table, sign the sheet so that we know you have received your directory. Men, your Bible study will resume on January the 4th for our 8-week winter study series. So remember that, men, January the 4th. And then next Sunday, Christmas Eve, we will be having our regular service times, followed by a time of coffee, cocoa, and soft, chewy chocolate chip cookies, or cookies of some sort, but hopefully a lot of the soft, chewy ones. Bring your favorite Christmas treat to share. What would be your favorite Christmas treat, Doug? Soft, chewy chocolate chip cookies. Remember that. And only 8 days until Christmas. So that's all the announcements. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this time of year in which, amidst all the busyness, we can take a few moments to reflect upon your coming to earth as a baby and your life, and your death upon the cross for us. Lord, we ask that you'd bless as we go our separate ways. Give us safety. Bring us back next Sunday to our places. Help us to serve you while we're out in the world this week, in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face.